Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Shir for Women, Shir number 38. Today we're going to talk about making good use of yourself. There are many people who are unhappy in their present situations, preferring a different life. If only they had used their life a better way. And we go through life dissatisfied and being upset at ourselves, being upset at the situations. And it's a big test in life. There are challenges in everyone's life. And we have to know how to handle them. The one concept is fascinating in order to get ourselves through that is to first recognize that when Hashem gives us gifts, our abilities or our limbs and our faculties, to appreciate them and to use that to the fullest. There's an interesting thing. I never read it inside, but I read an article about it. There was an author called Charles Dickens. Maybe people heard of it. He wrote some classical books in the 1800s. Oliver Twist, Great Expectations, and others. So he has some short story somewhere where a fantasy type of concept that a person dug into a hole in his yard, broke through the earth's crust, went into a strange new world, and he was in a mysterious land now where everyone was born perfectly. No one had a deformity. Everyone was perfect. But it didn't continue through the lifetime. It all depended on the individual. And when later in life, when they reached a certain age, each person began to lose those parts of the body that he or she did not use. So, for example, he found someone who was a driver who only had a pair of hands. That's all there was to the driver, the pair of hands. Using it for the wheel or whatever that was used to drive. A lawyer looked at the lawyer. The only thing that you saw in the lawyer, not the whole body, just a massive jaw, because lawyers talk a lot. So you just see a mouth, a jaw, that's it. Someone that was concentrating on his students, just the heart. So whatever the Musa Haskell of that is that we are born with a variety of faculties. For example, given ears with which to appreciate good music, eyes to enjoy the wonders of the world and look at someone with an ayin taiva, which we're going to talk about, or hands and fingers to play musical instruments, to give tzedakah, to create beautiful objects, to hug somebody that needs a hug. We come to the world with all these God-given gifts in our own body, a wealth that allows us to enjoy life, and Hashem wants us to enjoy it. The problem is both ends. If we don't use them at all, or the other way around, if we overindulge ourselves. For example, if we forget that our eyes are not just for our own needs, but the needs for others, to care about others, looking with an ayin taiva. Stay away from looking negatively or in wrong things, or our ears. We don't use it. Or we overuse it to hear gossip instead of using it to listen with understanding or with sympathy to the problems and troubles of others. Or our hands, we don't use them properly instead of using them to extend and reach out to others. So what happens is when our eyes are blind to the problems of the world, or when our ears are deaf to those who cry out for attention, when our hands are not stretched out to help others, then they become atrophied, they become withered. It destroys our natural tendency to be understanding. We become cold, we become empty. We lose our faculty of that limb. A limb that you don't use healthily will shrivel. And only when we use our talents or our abilities do they become stronger. You know, an athlete, after 3 days of sitting around, will feel very lethargic and and weaker. They have to constantly work to sharpen their reflexes and to remain strong. He will not allow his muscles to be unused. Now, an athlete has to make sure not to overdo it either, because very often athletes overuse it and they injure themselves with the overuse of their limbs, going overboard. But the other way around, of not using them at all or very weakly, everything will die through disuse. Every part of our body, every part of our mind as well. Love, patience, understandings can die or shrivel or be buried deep within us if we don't exercise those muscles of love, of patience, and of understanding by exercising our minds and our hearts to fulfill that potential within us. So very often we have to look at ourselves and say that if we're not happy with our present life, we have to really make a decision and decide what it takes to make us happy. What does Hashem really want from us? And begin with what you have. Every one of us has resources. Start in a small way. Use our energies for the positive going forward. One of those aspects to lead a healthy life, other than what we just said, to make good use of yourselves in your limbs and in your emotions and in your thoughts, is to remove an accumulation of mental junk that we have in our brains. In every area of life, there is a time that we need to clean up. We have to dispose of assorted junk. Sometimes we have to clear up a house, and when you move, you realize it. Oh, I don't need all of this. It's time to give it away or throw it out. And we need to do this cleaning just like we would do when we move out of a house, or we're renovating a house, or we're cleaning up in our own house to remove unnecessary junk. We need to do that in our own emotional lives as well. To follow this removing of the junk in our emotional lives every single day. Because what we do is we clutter our lives and our feelings with useless thoughts, with old ideas, with disturbed emotions. All of us have that. Old grudges, certain animosities towards people that we didn't give up, and it ends these really unhealthy jealousies that eat at us, and this nursing of those old grievances and those unhealthy, uncomfortable incidents that we really need to forget and move on from, and we don't do that. And we don't give up our emotional junk heap. We're afraid to throw it away. We may feel we may need it as a protective mechanism, not realizing there's other healthier ways to protect ourselves. Or we say revenge is sweet. I need to hold on to that concept that I will take revenge against that person or who hurt me. We refuse to discard our bitter discouragements. And again, there's ways to discard the bitter discouragements or fears or disappointments and still protect yourself from harm going forward without carrying that heavy resentment. The Baal Shem Tov, it's brought down somewhere there, that fear, unhealthy fear, builds walls that hold back the light from coming in. And we need to really work on that. We drag our fears and our disappointments with us from day to day. Instead of sun, we choose the heavy clouds. And we need to work very hard not to let that happen. To throw out the useless, troublesome parts of our lives every single day. The petty fears, the unnerving anxieties, the unnecessary frustrations, the envy. And throw out everything we can that would interfere with our, whether restful sleep or what's ever holding us back from arising each morning with a new ischachus and saying, Moida Ani. And the good place and time to do that is by Kriya Shema Lamita. Every night before retiring, you're basically throwing your junk heap and disappointments that you suffered that day. And you ask for Mechila. You say, tomorrow's going to be another day. Don't let it linger. You learn the lessons. You talk to Hashem about it. He forgives you. Because you asked him for Mechila. He's Mechil you right away. I want to start from scratch tomorrow. I want to start with a new, fresh perspective. And that's what we have to do from day to day, every single day, to renew ourselves at all times, the hischachus. The Arizal says in his Sefer Kabbalah, he starts out all the way in the beginning, very much early in his Sefer. Every single hour of the day, the worlds change. This moment, or this hour, has no similarity to another hour. This is built into the Bria. You see how fish, they run up when they sense rain. They run up to try to get those new droplets. They have the whole Atlantic Ocean or whatever lake they're in with tons and tons and tons of water where they live by, and yet they strive for that new drop. How we yearn sometimes when we see a spring and finally a flower starts emerging. How we yearn for that hischachus and we see it. It brings into the heart of a person a life, a hope, to live a happier life, to live a better life. That's why it's not a small thing that we make shehechayanu on new clothing or new kalim in certain situations. Shehechayanu v'kimanu v'yiyanu lazman hazeh. And we don't take it lightly. It's a new physical thing, but it brings us joy. So we always have to work on that concept. That's my tafkid. I'm grabbing onto that. I'm not going to waste time with unhealthy pains. I'm going to start from new, renew myself every single day. And that is such an important insight. The concept to start out with this, which is not always easy, is to transform ourselves in the way to have a ayin taiva. It says toiv ayin hu yivayrech. It's a pasuk in Mishlei, Perach Beis, pasuk Tes. Someone has a good eye, he will be blessed. You need to have a good eye. What does a good eye mean? Listen carefully. The good eye has to be for Hashem, to look always at the positive of what Hashem gives us. And difficult things, we have to look at the positive side of it, try to find the silver lining of it and see the good in it. Of course, ayin tovah to all those around us to see their good points. Sheyira malas chavareinu v'lechesreinam, to see their malas. And most importantly, tovayin al atzmai, a good eye on yourself. Again, this is the opposite of a good eye in the sense, oh, I'm good, and I'll do whatever I want. No, I'm good, and I have a special soul, and therefore I'm going to work towards becoming better. It comes with self-accountability, but it all comes in the mode of having a good eye, an ayin tova. You cannot have an ayin tova on somebody else if you don't have an ayin tova on yourself. And we'll discuss this more, but as is Hashem, the upcoming shiur, and bracha v'atzlacha.